And in this study, I want to focus on certain aspects of the teaching of Paul that are overlooked, but are critical, or very critical, if one wants to truly follow Christ. So, I'm going to not go into certain aspects of what he says, in the sense of I'm not going to cover ground that I expect any Christian should understand. So, beginning in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. The grace of God is not given to mankind for man to be free to do as a man pleases to do, for a man to be free to follow after the passions of men. The grace of God is given for us so that we might be obedient to the faith for his name among all nations. One of the most sorely lacking understanding among Christians today is that we must be as he was. As the Apostle John declared in the first epistle he wrote in chapter 3, don't let any man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And the faith of Jesus Christ is not simply believing, as the Apostle James says. Faith without works is dead. And faith without obedience is faith without works. And we're going to see Paul has a lot to say about this as we continue through Romans here. Let's just go on. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So going verse 8 should be self-explanatory. Verse 9 also, remember the brethren in all your prayers. So he speaks here of the mutual faith in verse 12 of you and me. They shared the same faith. Today, we have many faiths. There is the Catholic faith, the Baptist faith, the Jehovah's Witness faith, my faith, my faith, your faith. And among many people, there's this idea that, well, what's the big deal? We all have different ideas. Can't we all get along? And we can all get along, surely. But is it right for us to get along? There's also, that is an idea out there that we should really get along despite all of our differences. And I do not find that sentiment anywhere in the scriptures. It's very present in our modern vernacular of what is wise. But the scriptures say that a man that is an heretic reject after the first and second admonition because he is subverted in sins. Heresy simply means to have an opinion different than whatever the correct opinion is supposed to be. And for me, that would be the opinion of the apostles, prophets, and of our Lord. If you have doctrines that differ from what is written to be their doctrine, then you are a heretic. Now, of course, different people look at the Bible and they come up with all sorts of different opinions about what the proper doctrine is. And the truth is, you can only follow the doctrine which God gives it to you to see. So I pray that you may see. Verse 13, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Let means simply hindered. I was hindered. That I might have some fruit among you. Also, even as among other Gentiles, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. See, Paul is just simply saying, you know, I'd like to come and let you do something nice for me. Because whosoever receives you receiveth me, Jesus says. So if a man is truly an apostle of God, or truly a teacher of God, and you receive that person, you are blessed. If you give to that person, you are blessed. And of course, this idea in scriptures is often used by charlatans to say, well, give to me and you'll be blessed. So it comes down to being able to discern what a true apostle, prophet, teacher of God is versus what isn't. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. On these words, so many false doctrines would be built. Doctrines that would teach people that by a single act of faith, salvation would be attained. But very clearly here it says, the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. And, of course, the first question to me would be, well, what is the gospel? What is the gospel of God? You know, fortunately, we have examples of the gospel actually being preached by people who would be most qualified to tell us what the gospel is. And the passage I like to use is Acts chapter 3. Very simply, it is Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, and what he's seeing here is a lame man was healed by Peter and John, or by God through Peter and John, but, you know, this man had sat at this gate for a long time, and Peter and Paul come along, and they tell him, they take him by the right hand and lift him up, and, you know, he's healed, and everyone sees this, and they're like, wow, they're filled with wonder and amazement. And Peter looks around, and he says to the people, this is the gospel, okay? Maybe not in a nutshell,